August 10th is an important day for prisoners. It is Prison Justice Day, a memorial day for those living in prison, their families, and the community, to remember those who've died behind bars. Prisoners mark the annual day by fasting and refusing to work. On the outside, community groups organize to raise awareness about inside conditions. Started in Kingston, Ontario, the day has been around since 1975. But how the prison system has responded to Prison Justice Day has changed over the years. Jim is someone who has experienced Prison Justice Day from both sides of the bars. Jim is a lifer living in Calgary, and while inside, he was active organizing. Now on the outside, he works with Lifeline. It's an organization that supports lifers on reintegration on the outside. More recently, Jim has been organizing a project to send Prison Justice Day t-shirts inside to prisoners. He's been experiencing new roadblocks from the system who aren't too eager for prisoners to be marking August 10th. Jim joins us on the phone from his home in Calgary to talk a little bit more about Prison Justice Day and how the shirts are being banned in some parts of the system. So thanks for joining us this evening, Jim.
You're more than welcome. Thanks for giving me a call to find out what's really going on.
So what are you doing for Prison Justice Day this year?
Well, fortunately, Phyllis has invited me out to Prison Justice Day in Vancouver, and I'll be leaving early in the morning, flying out to Vancouver, and bringing about four duffel bags of T-shirts for the rally.
And so how is this different from what you've done in the past years?
In the past years, we used to just sit in our cells. We wouldn't eat. Wouldn't do anything, no communication with the authorities, and of course, wasn't refusing to work. Everybody was just sick that day, and no one went into work. Most of the prisons rely on prison labor for everything, from cooking the meals to their keeping their park-like exteriors for the public looking as pristine as possible.
And do you remember your first Prison Justice Day?
My first Prison Justice Day was almost 30 years ago, and it was in Edmonton Institution Maximum Security. And thank God there was a lot of old-timers there who would always bring up to speed all the young guys that have come in and everything else like that and explain. And over the years, Emily... unfortunately, I've probably had at least 44 people that I've known pass away, either naturally or been murdered inside the prisons or drug overdoses. They seem to be the three common things that happen while you're inside. So it's become quite a special day for me and quite a special day for a lot of people that know me as well.
That's a lot of people to remember tomorrow.
You know what? I think Phyllis has got well over 600 and some people in her publication, and I know for a fact that many of the ones that while I've been out, there's been fellows that have passed away in halfway houses and that, and no mention of that at all. They keep it so quiet, it's almost you want to question why are they doing this, and I know the reason is because other people besides prisoners ask, well, how come these people are dying in jail or passing away either through poor medical or sometimes it's just the isolation where they commit suicide. No one wants to commit suicide, but sometimes they're put in a position where they figure that's the only way out. And I've seen it, and I've experienced it, and it's unfortunate.
Do you have any particular memorable moments of marking Prison Justice Day on the inside that stand out for you?
You've only got an hour show, so I don't want to get into that, okay? And you've got some other people on there. But, I think maybe I was in a special handling unit. They've banned them now, and in Canada because of their the way they treated male prisoners. And I had a chance to experience that But the whole thing is, fortunately, I can't say I found God or anything else during these times of great isolation in the special handling unit, which was in Prince Albert, Saskatchewan. But I did find a sense of peace and understanding of what one has to do if you want to survive 3 decades of imprisonment. And one of the things you have to do is you have to try to help your fellow man. There's some people that aren't as strong as you, and there's some people that are really, really strong, and sometimes it gets them into a lot of trouble. So you have to find a happy medium and try to move along and be positive in a very, very negative environment.
And sometimes Prison Justice Day was a way to sort of reach out to other people?
Prison Justice Day was the bell tolling, letting you know you've finished another year, okay? And what can you do from this point on to make the next Prison Justice Day not more memorable, but more worthy of that day? There's so many things that guys can do on the inside, and I know families on the outside have tried for years and years. Just to make the little things that a lot of people take for granted on the outside possible on the inside. And I know maybe some of your listeners are saying, well, geez, maybe you guys don't deserve anything. And I can see, you know, their train of thought and everything else like that. But after a while, doing time is not about the crime. It's about the revenge and punishment that the prison system is turned into an industry instead of something where it's you never hear the word rehabilitation anywhere. It's reintegration, trying to put you back after they've locked you up for decades back into a society that's changed, you know, 360 degrees. But you have to prepare yourself. There's no programs, there's no quick fix. And, of course, we know that crime is a chronic problem, and it's usually fueled by drugs. So we can't get into any of that because we'd be here forever talking about it. Because I can talk about it all day, but anything else, Emily?
You were talking a little bit about what it's like to get out. And that's some of the work that you're doing now on the outside. You work with Lifeline. Can you tell us a little bit about that work and what some of the challenges are for folks who are trying to make it on the outside?
I work with Lifeline, and my partner, who in our T-shirt business, he is also works with the provincial drug court. He's an ex-offender as well, and we basically try to, when guys get out, they got two ways they can go. They can go back to what they're comfortable with and get high and commit crimes, or they can try something different. It's not as rewarding, and it's but the one thing is you don't wake up with a hangover in the morning, or you don't wake up really, really dope sick. So it doesn't work for everybody, and everybody has to make their own decision on what they want to do. And sometimes it's not the right time to do it, and a lot of times these guys have been in so long, including myself, you really, really get, I won't say institutionalized, but you really, really find it tough around big crowds of people, especially, well, on your SkyTrain is the example I use for the LRT in Calgary. It was really, really tough riding around with these people pushing you in and out, and you've got to hustle, or otherwise you miss your train or you miss your bus, and you're just not used to that.
And I imagine the speed and the technology and the just some of the nuances are much different on the inside and outside, and also when people went in and when they come out.
Yeah, I'm still trying to become computer literate, and I go down to the internet cafe once a week and look on to the Prison Justice website and your guys' information and Google everything. So it's I could spend hours doing that, and it's just like a kid with a new toy. So a little bit at a time, I think, till I get used to it is good. The Lifeline, which they have in every province in Canada, is a government-funded, Correctional Service of Canada-funded organization. And they use ex-offenders, ex-lifers, as liaisons for the fellows that are inside getting out or with hopes of getting out. And what has come of that is actually a very, very close-knit group of guys who have one goal in mind, and that's to stay out, stay clean, and start contributing back to society.
And you're also working on another project you've mentioned a little bit. This is the T-shirt project for Prison Justice Day. Can you tell us a little bit about what's going on with that project?
Well, we started by sending 53 of the federal institutions in Canada a letter of introduction, and also we wanted to get some interest. There's a lot of new guys inside, a lot of gangs, a lot of they're fighting amongst each other instead of, you know, trying to live together. And so we started off with a prison art contest, and the theme was a good design for our Prison Justice Day T-shirts. Some of the information we sent in got into, I would say, 50% of the prisons. 25% of it came back, didn't even make it past the VNC or visitant and correspondence section before it goes into the prison. It was sent back saying that this information, this stuff is not authorized, and therefore don't, which I think is, if you send a letter in Canada, anybody is supposed to be delivered to the people that you send it to. And we send it to the inmate populations and the inmate committees of all the institutions. So there's a little bit of power struggle there, I guess. They want to have control of their prison, and they want to control the information and also access to Prison Justice Day information. I'm not discouraged by it whatsoever. It's just that I've run into it so many times while I've been on the inside. I should have known that we're going to get a good battle on the outside with it. But we try to make it as easy as possible, and the taxpayers don't pay for the shirts. The institution doesn't pay for the shirts. The guys buy the shirts with their own money, and they make $6.90 a day as their top wage. So they're spending almost 3 days' wages to buy a shirt. And I don't know anywhere else in Canada where someone would spend 3 days of their wages just for something to wear, but it's the thought, I think, that counts, and it's the fact that the shirt represents a silent majority of people that really feel bad about how things are going on.
And so you ended up getting some artwork, put them on the shirts, but as you say, different prisons have had different responses to this project. Do you see this as part of a trend as to them clamping down a little bit more on the marking of Prison Justice Day on the inside? How do you see that?
Yes. Before I even started this project, I was given a heads up from someone who's got their finger on the pulse of corrections. They said, "Jim, this is going to be a big battle. So if you're up to it, dig in." And I said to my buddy, we've been fighting these guys for years on everything inside, from healthcare to dentists, even visits, family visits, the whole works. So this is just another battle, but we have a little bit more ammunition here. We have the internet, we have websites, we have radio stations like yourself that are going to give us a better foot in the door to some of these other institutions. we sent a fax today, what has in fact happened, and we have people from institutions calling us and writing us, is that staff members from these institutions have taken these designs, made the shirts, and have basically told the committee that if they want Prison Justice Day shirts, they have to buy them from them. They have no other option because, of course, they don't know about us or how to get a hold of us or anything else. So that's just one of the things that is ingrained into our correctional system. A lot of the people that have worked there for a long time do what they want, when they want, and, of course, taking money from prisoners when you're employed by CSC, Correctional Service of Canada, is probably one of the biggest violations of public trust one could have.
What do you think are the most important issues, in addition to sort of things that you've mentioned, that are happening inside and you want to point out on this, the 35th annual Prison Justice Day?
One of the things that really, really bothers me and bothers the Correctional Investigator of Canada is no end. His name is Howard Sapers. I've talked to him many a time. I've probably written him 50 letters over the last 5 years, but is the total neglect that corrections has towards situations that cause prisoners to die. I've been to two inquiries. I've heard the recommendations from the judges. I've read the recommendations that have been sent in to institutions, have been sent in to the Commissioner of Corrections. And these recommendations, after the one incident, a friend of mine died in prison. He went to the health care, said he had some severe pains and whatever. And they says, well, here's two Motrin. If you don't feel good in the morning, come see us again. He went back to his cell and died. Now, they had over 22 recommendations, one being that the staff not be so apathetic towards prisoners, especially if you're a healthcare professional working in a prison, and the list goes on and on and on. And the institutions get these recommendations and do nothing. This has been over almost 6 years since this inquiry is completed, and they directed all this recommendations to one institution who has, they've been flagrantly ignoring everything. And several inmates have died there over the years, and they do nothing to correct it. I don't know how to change it. All I know is what I'm doing now and what we're doing now, Emily, is more people are getting an idea of what's really happening. And I think it's important. And the more people that know are the more people that ask questions. I think it's just going to have to evolve, and I'll probably just be dust blowing in the wind when something good comes of it. But I know every year I can say it gets better, but I see some instances where it's been blatantly ignored and abused and gotten worse.
I'm sure all those people on the inside appreciate all the work that you're doing around the T-shirt project and all your efforts there. I'm just wondering, we're just about out of time, but I just wanted you to give you a moment so you can pass on a message to any of those listening who are living behind the walls on this August 10th. What would be your message to them?
My message to them is you are not forgotten and you're not lost in the shuffle. A lot of people, they're so busy on the outside. But there's always one part of the day where I sit back and think where I came from and how many guys I left behind. And I just hope that all the guys that are inside, I can't say one day you'll get out because the way things are going now, it's harder and harder to get out, and they've turned it into an industry, and the people that are on the inside aren't classified as people anymore, they're numbers. And for you to get out, you have to pick yourself up. You have to not be radical or be vocal or anything else like that, because that just gets you into all the places that they sent me when I was like that. But just find something positive and keep working towards it. I'll be saying a big prayer tonight for all the guys that have passed on and the gals. And I know there's what's even more troubling is in the women's penitentiaries, because they're small, because they're close-knit, and they're very, very tight, the staff there, a lot of stuff goes on that nobody even hears about. And that's just really sad in this day and age. I can say that at one time I was proud to be a Canadian, but now with all this other stuff going on, it's really, really tough for me to wave the flag type thing.
Well, thanks so much for joining us and sharing your thoughts with us and your experiences on this 35th annual Prison Justice Day. We've been speaking with Jim. He is a lifer who's currently living in Calgary, and he works with Lifeline, supporting other lifers in their transition to the outside. He's also been working on a Prison Justice t-shirt project. If you're interested in ordering one of the Prison Justice Day t-shirts that he was mentioning, you can check out all the details from a link on the prisonjustice.ca website.